Everything feels terrifying. Everything feels scary. And it's really hard to make business decisions and really hard to make investment decisions. Let's talk about what unpredictability actually looks like in a coaching business. It kind of looks like one month you might hit $15,000 a month and then the next month you hit $5,000 a month. You can't really plan a holiday because you don't know where the leads are going to come from. You don't know if you're going to be able to afford to take a break. You don't know if you can hire somebody because you're unsure whether the amount of money that you're earning is just a fluke or if it's going to continue for the next few months.
Everyone thinks they've got a leads problem when most of the time they've actually got a conversion problem. So you listening to this right now, if I actually gave you 100 leads that were qualified, how many of them would become clients? And if the answer is less than 5 or 10, then you've got a conversion issue, not a leads issue. Welcome to episode 134 of the Success School podcast. Today, I'm talking about building a predictable business that grows with ease. Steph, how are you feeling?
Comfortable. This is a whole new kind of setup that we have going on today. If you guys are watching on YouTube, hello. And we are in our literal lounge room. This is our lounge room of our house. We're joined by Luna, who's lovingly licking her paws.
Yeah. Yep. Loves licking shit. What's your personal update?
Well, we're sitting in this beautiful home and it's very clean.
Yeah.
And that's because we just hired our first staff member in Thailand.
Yeah.
And her name is Yu, which is confusing because then when I go to speak to you about Yu, it's a bit confusing. But she's just whipped our house into shape today. And let me tell you why we need somebody to kind of house manage for us here. In Thailand, they love shiny things. And what they mostly love is shiny floors. And we have these almost
like porcelain.
Porcelain tiles across this whole house that are so shiny and so white. And our dogs are so hairy and so black and so dirty that it was becoming a nightmare for us to, like, every day we were losing like 2 hours a day just vacuuming, cleaning, mopping the floors. And so, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you don't have time for that. And so it's been really nice to get some help around the house. She's been great.
Yeah, my personal update is we're just settling in, which feels nice. I think I probably underestimated how challenging it was to move country, not from like all the things you would expect, just all the little things like you don't have your appliances, you don't have your like modern conveniences, you don't have a phone, you don't have SIM card, you don't have a car, you don't have like a motorbike, you have no modes of transport, you can't speak the language. Like there's quite a bit of stuff that I just completely underestimated, but 2 weeks in, I'm feeling settled. I couldn't even think about moving back to Australia would be shit at the moment.
Yeah, it did take, for anyone who's considering moving country, it certainly takes a little bit longer to settle in than you expect. Like it took a little bit longer than I expected.
Yeah, so today's episode, Steph settled in for 2 weeks of sales calls, gave us heaps of market research. And one of the things that a lot of people are struggling with, so probably 20 of the 30 calls was they struggle with the predictability in their business and growing it with ease. And before we get into this, I don't mean to say that business should be easy, but it should be easeful. And if you've got systems, processes, team, SOPs, and it's not relying on the founder, I like to think business can be pretty easy and simple.
Yeah.
Not easy, but simple.
I think it's a difference between it being easy and it having ease. Like easy means like, oh, it comes to me easily and everything is easy. That's not necessarily the case. Business is typically quite a hard push, but it gets to be easeful, I think, where it's like, you know, it doesn't actually have to be a push all of the time. So let's talk about what unpredictability actually looks like in a coaching business. It kind of looks like one month you might hit $15,000 a month and then the next month you hit $5,000 a month. And, you know, you can't really plan a holiday because you don't know where the leads are going to come from. You don't know if you're going to be able to afford to take a break. You don't know if you can hire somebody because you're unsure whether the amount of money that you're earning is just a fluke or if it's going to continue for the next few months. And you don't really have a predictable way of knowing that the leads are going to come in and a predictable way of knowing those leads are going to turn into sales. And so because of that, everything feels terrifying. Everything feels scary. And it's really hard to make business decisions and really hard to make investment decisions also.
Yeah. So the first teaching point today, we're going to talk like, a, you know, Success School, we do marketing, like obviously. So we're going to talk about marketing. And in particular, I think a lot of people really just get locked into the referral only type business model. Like they really don't do marketing. They don't have a marketing strategy. It's a really dumb idea when you're trying to create an easeful business, because referrals are random. They're not unpredictable and they might dry up for months at a time. Mm-hmm. So building a business on that is really just a dumb move.
I've had a lot of conversations this like week with people and I've been like, how do people typically find you? And they're quite proud when they tell me that they found on referrals. And I understand why, because obviously, you know, it means they're doing a great job and their clients love them and that's awesome. But like, there is going to be a stop to that. Like a client only has so many friends that they can refer you to. Yeah. They only have so many people they can refer to. So unless you have front end load, unless every single client's going to refer 3 or 5 people, which again is unpredictable because you don't know how many they're going to refer. You don't know when they're going to refer. You don't know how that's going to come about. It's just a really stressful way to rely on leads.
So in terms of building a marketing funnel, generally you want these things to be predictable. You want them to be consistent and you want them to be not relying on you all the time. Yes, some marketing funnels do rely on you, like making organic content typically, but things that generally work on autopilot. Steph, I want to get in some questions. So what's the difference between posting and hoping versus actually having a predictable marketing system?
So when I asked this question to the people that I've been jumping on sales calls with, I was kind of asking like, when we look at doubling your revenue, so some people are like, I want to get to $30,000 a month. I'm like, cool. Do you confidently know that you have the demand and the lead generation to be able to do that? And they're like, every time, the answer is no. And so if you're listening to this episode and you don't know how to get to the number of clients that you need for your goals, then it's probably because you're relying too heavily on organic. And I know that we beat on and bash on about ads all the time, but I cannot tell you how freeing it is to know that you have constant leads coming in, that you can wake up to an inbox full of messages from ideal clients who have come in off the back of a lead magnet who now want to have a conversation with you, instead of spending hours and hours, you know, stalking other coaches online, trying to make content that's interesting, trying to think about like is and really having no strategy. Like most people are just copying other content they see online. They don't even know if it's even actually working other than likes and engagement, you know? So that method of just hoping that today is the day that somebody reaches out to you in your inbox is just, it's really unreliable. It's really stressful. And so we preach ads because ads is the number one way. And it doesn't have to be hard. Like we're not talking about really complicated ad funnels, but ads is the number one way to guarantee that every single day you're going to get a contact point or somebody to reach out to and have a conversation about signing up in your program.
Yep.
Yeah. And ultimately that's how you make it predictable. If somebody is relying 100% on, let's say, Instagram right now and hoping that one of their reels goes viral, what are the two funnels that they should build first? And can you walk us through like paid ads versus SEO? So let's talk to the funnels first.
Yeah. So in terms of the funnels, the simplest way to just get some reach here is just to boost your posts. It's really simple. You just press the boost button, follow a few prompts, and then go from there. You know, typically, in Success Group, we would call that a follower funnel. So essentially, it's trying to get your shit seen by people that don't know where you're at right now. It's a really easy way to start. The second way is like actually with some DM ads. And what would happen there is you would give some kind of lead magnet value download in exchange. They would start a DM conversation with them and then you could offer to help them in an extended way. This is not like you're going to sell them a $15,000 offer like immediately in DMs because they don't really know you. Most of these people are cold. So that's quite hard to do, but they are two of the most simple ones. And then you've got a lead magnet funnel as well. Lead magnet funnel is basically the DM funnel just without the DM. Essentially, you're giving a lead magnet away in exchange for contact details, name, email, number, and then you can market to them from there, which is just a great thing to do. All three of those, I would tentatively say you could learn how to execute in a couple of hours. Like not super challenging, not hard to do. I think where the bugbear there is for a lot of people is like it costs money. Do you just want to talk about the time and money?
Yeah, thing? For sure.
Because like a lot of people, they will, you know, make organic content, spend hours on a piece of content, it go fucking nowhere, and they're okay with that.
Yes. So I think that a lot of people think that they don't want to spend money on ads, and they're happy to just continue investing their time in content that doesn't perform because they think that they're not spending any money. But what they're not equating is the fact that your hourly rate is probably somewhere around, and I would hope so, around the $150 to $200 mark, if not way higher than that. And so every hour that you spend on a piece of content that doesn't perform and doesn't bring in leads, which, I mean, you may have 5 or 6 pieces of content go out and not generate a single lead. And you might spend 30 minutes to an hour on that content. So that's 3 to 5 hours a week on content. That's $1,000 at, you know, $200 an hour. My math was good today. On content that doesn't perform, but you won't spend $5 a day on ads that's guaranteed to bring you in leads and contact details. And even further than that, if you run a DM funnel, actually start conversations with you. Like, it's insane. It blows my mind that people are still sitting in that paradigm.
So, Steph, everyone's terrified of paid ads, like, to a degree. I think 95% of people you've had calls with in the last 2 weeks were like, had tried ads, absolutely sucked at them and didn't want to do it anymore, or just haven't tried it because there's some fear in there. Typically, people say ads are too expensive or SEO takes too long. What's your response to that?
I don't think ads are expensive, personally. Like, and so first of all,
it's an investment.
I think it's an investment. It's an investment. Two, it's not expensive. We have Shandy in our program. She's been running $5 a day ads. She's got not only herself fully booked, but she's got one of her team members fully booked as well, running $5 a day ads. We have Georgie, who's been running $5 a day ads, who has been getting hundreds of leads and signing people up into a membership. Like, this does not have to be expensive, you know. And even us, we spend a tiny portion of our revenue on ads, you know. Like, we spend less than 10% of our revenue on ads in a year, which is wild. Like, I would spend that 10%. In fact, I would spend way more. I spend 20% to generate the revenue that we have. And so people who say they're expensive just haven't learned the skill.
Like, they don't get the game.
They don't get the game. They don't understand that you have to spend money to make money. They're happy to just toil with their time. And that's exactly why they're broke. And so if you really, truly want to scale your company, it cannot be with your time. Like, eventually you're going to have to make an investment that scales your business. And it's ads is the fastest way to do it. If you were to give one of our clients, let's just say that one of our listeners joined Success School tomorrow, what's the one funnel that you would get them to start with that would generate them leads within 30 days?
I would say a lead magnet funnel, to be honest. I think building your email list and getting people's contact details so you can remarket them is key. How you'd go about that is essentially you want to poll your audience and actually speak to your audience of ideal clients, not just like tire kickers, because they're never going to pay you. Find out their top 3 pain points and build a solution for that. Offer that in a download PDF template, whatever it is. Get them to download it, and then you've got to follow them up. I was actually writing some organic content yesterday, and it was everyone thinks they've got a leads problem when most of the time they've actually got a conversion problem. So you listening to this right now, if I actually gave you 100 leads that were qualified, how many of them would become clients? And if the answer is less than 5 or 10, then you've got a conversion issue, not a leads issue. So you could get all the leads in the world, but if you don't know how to convert those leads, then it's not a marketing issue. It's actually a conversion or a sales issue from there.
So we've spoken about building a predictable business. The first part of building a predictable business is having a predictable pipeline of leads and clients, which you've just spoken through. We highly recommend ads for that. And it is just a skill like any other skill in business that you just have to spend time to learn. But there is a second part of building a predictable pipeline that comes down to profitable pricing for stability. So making sure that the amounts that we charge and that the way that we bill people actually continues to make things feel predictable for us so we feel safe. So on this topic, why can someone make $50,000 a month and still feel broke or stressed? Because what's the difference between, like, I guess, like, talk through revenue, profit, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so like, most people that listen to this podcast are in UK, Australia, Canada, USA, and you've got this thing called tax as well, which is crazy. So you get to the end of the month, end of the quarter, whatever, and then you get your BAS or your VAT or whatever it is, and then that just literally drains whatever profit you had left over. Because people aren't equating for that when they're doing their numbers as well. So
yeah.
I think, like, especially as you're just scaling up, you're just, you know, you're kind of stoked just to get a client or any clients, and then you get 10 clients, 20, 100, whatever it is, and you scale up to a 50K a month business, and then you never actually look at profitability or pricing or anything like that. And I think that's where this goes wrong is people just don't have a grasp on their numbers or what it takes to be profitable. And this is obviously like the major thing for me. Steph, how do you figure out what to charge based on how many clients you can actually handle with ease? So, like, give us some info on pricing and how you should be pricing things.
Yeah. So I guess, like, you know, every single person that's listening to this podcast has a completely different pricing strategy. And the thing that blows my mind is that so many people just pick their price out of their ass. Like, they have no structure, no strategy to pricing. They just pick a number that sounds good. And God forbid if they do angel numbers. And so there's this process that, you know, you really have to go through to understand. And it's so personal. Like, pricing is such a personal game. It's not just what everyone else is paying in the market or what you're charging. Like, it's so dependent on what kind of business model you want to run. Like, are you doing high ticket one-to-one consulting? Are you doing one-to-one fitness coaching? Are you doing a group program? Do you have a low ticket funnel and product? Like, pricing for individually for those things are obviously going to make a difference. And then additionally to that, you need to price based on your capacity. Like, if you are doing one-to-one and you can only take on 10 clients and you want to make $50,000 a month, then you're going to have to figure out how to make that from 10 clients. And then you're going to have to factor in tax and all the other costs that come with running a company. And so pricing should definitely not be something that is just kind of whipped around and figured out. And, like, honestly, you can price whatever the heck you want for anything. You just have to pick the right positioning in the market, because, like, we've worked with fitness coaches who charge upwards of $50,000 for services because they work with people who are really rich and they offer really optimized services. And so it literally doesn't matter which business model or which business you want to run, your pricing is just something that should be structured around you, your lifestyle, your goals, where you want to be and who you want to work with ultimately. Let's talk about payment plans versus upfronts. I'd love to hear your take on it.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's two camps to this. There's really, like, the payment plan, or, like, in coaching terms, they're called MRR, so monthly recurring revenue. So essentially you just divvy out the cost of whatever it is over weeks and months, which is great for cash flow and it makes sure you're getting paid at all times. Then the other school of thought is, like, if you get tons of upfront payments, that's obviously great for cash flow as well because you're getting an upfront payment. So it's quite hard to scale a coaching business on reoccurring revenue because you're just not getting, typically, if you guys are listening to this, coach or a service-based business, you're typically not getting that much money cash collected up front, which means you can't really reinvest in team and ads and systems and that type of stuff. It's very, like, a bit of a slow grind. Mm. So if you were in a hard scale season and you were going to push it and you were ready to spend money on ads and you're ready to do all those things, depends what type of business you run. But I would be pushing more for upfronts and giving people an incentive to do that. Typically, you know, we give a 20% incentive for someone to pay up front for, like, a PIF or a pay in full versus a reoccurring, just because we want to reinvest that money back into growing the business and building the company from there. So I hope that answers it. Steph, what's the biggest pricing mistake that people make when they're trying to scale revenue that causes instability?
I think the biggest pricing mistake that people make is they just don't price it based on the avatar they're trying to sell it to. So they pick numbers that just feel good, or they price based on what other people are pricing in the market. And so usually what we see when we work with clients is either way overcharging because they feel all self-inflated, or they saw someone else charge that price and they feel like they're worth it, or they're well and truly undercharging because they actually don't feel worth it and they're, you know, basically pricing based on how they feel about themselves at any one point. And when you price just based on you and how you feel about your price, then I can guarantee you're going to have a really hard time. So inside Success School, what we do is we actually work with our clients kind of in a bit of a backwards model. We focus first on the person that we are trying to sell to, the problems that they have. Then we work out an offer that uses your unique skill set to solve that problem. And then we pick a price point that makes sense for that offer, for that particular avatar, and makes sense to help them scale. And I think that, yeah, the number one mistake we see is that they just kind of pick a number out of thin air, and usually they attach their worth to the number, which makes it even worse.
So the third main thing here when building a predictable business that does grow with ease is team. And I know on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I did talk about a couple of analogies around teams. So there's the donkeys, the horses, and the camels. But team is the biggest unlock if you can unlock it. It opens up a whole nother can of issues, especially if you're hiring in, like, first world countries in terms of, like, legal, tax, compliance, insurance, all that shit. So I can understand why people are hesitant to hire a team. There are many workarounds, and we're going to talk about, obviously, we're probably going to talk about hiring a VA in a second anyway. But team, honestly, guys, is the biggest unlock. Also, it's the hardest skill to learn in terms of management and leadership. If you're not a natural born leader, or you're not a great manager, or you're not a great people person, or you don't deal with conflicts well, team can be challenging and it can be the great unlock.
You know that 89% of coaches earn under $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I truly, truly believe, and we actually see that in the Success School applications, we see so much of it. And I truly believe that the reason that they're capped at that income, the reason that so few coaches actually make it past $100,000 a year is simply because they learn this skill. Because there is only so much that you can do on your own. You know, you're going to get exhausted. You're going to get sick. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to start going, maybe it's not worth it. We have had coaches come through Success School that have been phenomenal coaches, but just didn't have what it takes, or not even to say they have what it takes, because I think that everyone has what it takes. They didn't have the desire to learn the skill. And I think that whatever story you're running in your head will manifest true. Yep. And so if you tell yourself you're not a good leader, and we've seen this in multiple times inside Success School, then you're never going to be a good leader. You're never going to try and learn the skills to become a good leader. And we end up seeing some coaches just go in and end up working for other coaches. And that's just breaks my heart, because they had everything at their disposal to do it. But now they're going to go earn under six figures working for someone else. And, you know, and it's kind of heartbreaking to see. So look, let's just get into it then. What's the first hire that someone should make?
So, you know, I've spoken about the hiring ladder a bunch of times. I've actually changed my order on it. So for me, any type of like EAVA would be typically the first hire for you. You just want to take yourself out of all of the admin stuff, build SOP systems on that. Second to that's delivery, which, you know, we changed with sales. So previously I did talk about sales as the second hire, but delivery to help with delivery. Since we've hired our client success team, Success has gotten better, the service has gotten better, and it's been easier for us as well.
And the results have gotten better.
Results of the clients have gotten better as well. And then from there, we've got sales. So this is kind of the level we're at the moment. We've just hired two new sales dudes, as sales has been our Achilles heel for a very long time. And then after that, I'm going to be looking to get some support with marketing, which is the thing I'm in at the moment. So it goes VA or admin, delivery, sales, marketing, and then from there you've got like operations and someone to help with running the team. So they'll probably be our next couple of hires after we've got this sales team locked in from there. And it just depends on like really where you're at from a revenue perspective. If you're making $5,000 a month, I think you should have a VA in some capacity and then scale it up from there. You just really want to think about this in terms of like your time is the most valuable asset. So you need to free up your time of all the bullshit that you are actually doing.
Yeah.
Steph, someone just lost their VA and their whole business fell apart. How would you prevent that? Like what would happen for you?
So one thing that we're really big on, look, this has happened to me, like full disclosure, this happened to me many times actually. I remember the first time it happened to me, I feel like it always happens at the worst time, right? Anyone who's experienced this will know. But the first time it happened to me, I had a VA that was running pretty much my entire business, which was my events business at the time. And we had taken, God forbid, we'd taken a holiday.
Yeah.
And we were in Noosa. I remember this. We were in this cute little Airbnb.
Always just happened to us when we take holidays.
Shit hit the fan. Yeah, always.
Team members were like, fuck you.
Yes.
You're taking a holiday, motherfucker.
I'm quitting. Yep.
Yeah.
Clients would mass walk out of the gym. Like it was a whole thing. Anyway, so we were very triggered. It's probably why we never took a lot of holidays for a long time. Yeah. But this one particular time we were in Noosa, and I remember, you know, we had, I think, 12 events on that week in my events business, but I was on holidays, you know, so I had my team and, you know, they were doing things. We had this one admin who was kind of like critical to the entire company. And when I say critical, I mean like she did all of the back end admin. So I had all these team members going out to all these events, but this girl did all of the back end. So she was doing all the organizing, all the paying of the bills, all the structuring, like all the links, all the customer inquiries, all the payments, all everything, right? And she just went offline. And so day one, I'm like,
days, eh?
Yeah, well, yes. So day one, I'm freaking the heck out. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, where is this chick gone? Day two, I'm like, okay, well, I've got to step in now because like, and so I've taken on someone's 40-hour-a-week admin job whilst also doing like the CEO job because like we're on holiday, but we're like not really on holiday. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Never on holiday.
Having the worst time of my life on this trip. And the worst part was I didn't know what the fuck she did.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of it documented. I didn't have any of the processes. I learned my lesson hard and fast. And so please take it from me. If you hire this person, you get them to document their processes along the way. So She had a failed payments process, as an example, that like now our team member, as the minute they run the process, they now document it as an SOP. And when we say SOP, we mean they either create the SOP, like no one reads written SOPs, guys, by the way, so just do a video with SOP, but like they document the whole process, they walk them through themselves doing it, and they save it in a file. Just make sure that when you hire these VAs and they're doing these processes for you, that they're documenting them and they're saving them somewhere. That's like, at least if shit hits the fan, you can jump in and you can do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the big one. Most people hire VAs and they delegate tasks, but that doesn't really delegate the responsibility or the stress of managing the task.
Yeah.
Talk me through the difference between like hiring for tasks versus delegation.
Yeah, great question, great topic. So I'll give you like a worked example here. So our VA is very like, it's very task orientated. Typically, the less you pay someone, the more task orientated it will be, like follow this SOP type system. On the other hand, we just hired a full-time content guy who's basically going to handle content for us. When hiring a content guy, because I've never hired a content guy, like I can't build SOPs because I don't know what the fucking SOPs are. So how the hell am I going to build an SOP for something I've never done or I'm not an expert?
We're not the media guys.
We're not the media guys. So what do you do in that situation? So we've hired someone great. Fingers crossed he comes with batteries included and everything works out incredibly. But we had to outsource essentially like the outcome of like what we want. And what that looks like for us is we said we want daily short form content and a weekly piece of long form content each. And that was kind of the job description. And then from there, it's like we want growth, but we don't know how much growth because we don't know how much is possible to grow when you give this thing full time. So I guess the job description right now is he's going to do 14 pieces of social media content for us a week, handle it end to end, like start to finish posting and everything. And then we're going to do a YouTube each week on our personal accounts. And then we're kind of going to scale it up from there. I guess after a couple of months, we're going to know if we're on the right track, if it's working, and then we can probably systemize and SOP some stuff. But it's very hard to SOP shit if you've never done shit before, okay? And I think this is what probably where a lot of people come unstuck with it. Like, it's all well and good for us to be like, yeah, fucking document your VA shit.
Yes.
But if you've never had a VA and you've never, like, what are they going to document?
Well, yeah, totally. And the problem with that is, though, but then you're trying to hire someone for $5 or $6 an hour.
Yeah.
To document a process for you. Like, this is not a...
But they suck.
But yeah, but they don't know that well either because they're also not that well trained. And so, you know, we are hiring this person. It's a high six-figure role that like, you know...
It's a multi-six-figure role.
So it's not $5 an hour. It's not even $10 an hour. It's not even $50. It's not even $40 an hour. It's so much more. And so... the intention of paying that much is that you get someone who truly comes batteries included. And the interview process was really extensive. And, you know, we made sure that like there was a lot of initiative and, you know, that he is really a student of his craft. But if you are truly wanting to take a process and completely outsource it and you don't know how to do it, then you got to hire someone good. And so with that in mind, for someone who's listening to this podcast, what I actually would recommend for something like that, like this happens all the time. A lot of coaches in our program use Go High Level. It is not that straightforward a system to set up. It's a little bit tricky, clunky, techie, a lot of integrations, a lot of stuff. If you don't like that stuff, it's going to be a bit of a bitch to set up. Mm-hmm. And so we recommend for people, like you can get a VA off of, you know, Upwork or Fiverr or whatever to set it up for you, but they're probably not going to be able to do it exceptionally well because potentially maybe they don't know how. So I typically recommend that people get them set up onshore. And then get the person who's setting it up onshore to make SOPs for you so that then you can bring someone in to manage it long term. And so sometimes if you truly, really don't know how to do something, you do have to get an expert in first.
Steph, just to wrap this up on the team, how do you know it's time to hire? Like, is there a sign from God? What kind of happens? Like, how do you know?
I think the sign from God is that when you feel, damn, it'd be really nice to have some help with this.
Yeah.
That's the time, to be honest. And most people push it so much further past that point that they get burnt out, they get exhausted, and then they go to hire, but now they're just so tired and they can't even be bothered training and they're all disillusioned with their business. Hire way before you need it.
Yeah. All right, guys. So if you want some help with your marketing funnels, if you want some help with your profitability, if you want some help with building a team, they are all things we do inside Successful in our mastermind program. So I'd like to open up the invitation to book a scale session with our team. We'll find out your goals. We will tell you how to grow your business on that call. And then we'll see if we're a good fit from there. But all you guys need to do is go to makemoreprofit.com and then just scroll down to the bottom, enter your details and book in a session, and we would love to speak with you. That was a great podcast, guys. If you got some value from it, hit the like button on whatever platform you're at or subscribe.
Guys, life's too short to not have a predictable business.
Yeah.
You need to be able to take holidays. You need to be able to take days off. And I think it's crazy that people delay on running ads completely. So get into it, guys.